Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Unshakable Habits Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Box, and today we're going to be talking about something that I think there might be some misconceptions around, and that is self-hypnosis. And this is a tool that you can really utilize in the comfort of your own home, and it can really help you to get a lot of clarity on your own mindset, your own beliefs, your own thoughts, and it can really start to help you change your life. So whether that is just improving your confidence or giving up something like smoking or losing weight or whatever, there are a lot of things that people focus on externally, but by focusing internally first, we can actually make a lot of changes in our life that we otherwise would not be able to make. So today I have a guest who has actually utilized these techniques to stop smoking himself, but he also has an app available to help other people do that. So with that, allow me to introduce to you all Elliot Cohen Scully today from One Leaf. So Elliot, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stephen, for having me.
Yeah, so excited to dive into this conversation. We were just talking a little bit here before we hit record about some of our philosophies and some of the commonalities between what we do. And I really appreciated the fact that for you, the idea of self-hypnosis is about having people turn inward first, right? Getting our own mindset, because I believe that's such a huge thing.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I guess we don't talk a lot about the mind, but we mostly talk about our bodies. And the two are very much connected. So you see a lot of people going to the gym, but less people, for example, practicing meditation or any type of self-hypnosis or other type of things that could actually unlock the power of your mind and help you to get better. But yeah, I think it's fairly rare to see some people doing self-hypnosis on their own. And one of the reasons for that is actually that hypnotherapy is not that common, as you said, because stage hypnosis has been there for a while and was not, I think, the best way to introduce self-hypnosis in this world. But as time goes by and the results and the clinical trials have been there for a while now in hospitals, you can clearly see that it's been used in hospitals, but not in the real life world, especially because it costs $150 to $250 per session. And therefore it makes it completely very hard for people to try and start doing hypnosis on a daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly basis.
Yeah. So let's break down some of the differences here, right? Because And if I'm wrong about any of this, please correct me, okay? But what I'm seeing is there are different levels here, and then each of these things are a little bit different, right? So there's meditation, which is what I think a lot of people think of is I'm just going to sit there and I'm supposed to be quiet or whatever, right? And that's really all that they do, right? And I think for a lot of people, that's difficult because they sit there for a couple of minutes and nothing happens, right? Nothing magical occurs, and this is stupid. Then you have a lot of people that when they start to hear about hypnosis, they either think of like hypnotherapy, which is going to an office somewhere and having someone guide you through this, like what you just alluded to, which is very expensive to do. And then the other idea, I think when people think of hypnosis is somebody making people cluck like chickens or whatever, right? Where does self-hypnosis fall into this category? Because it seems like it's somewhere between meditation and hypnotherapy. It seems like it's between those two.
They've done some brain scans, basically, of what happened in the brain during meditation and self-hypnosis. And as if we go back in time a century from now, actually meditation and self-hypnosis and hypnosis, sorry, happen and were born basically at this in the same time. And so you can see that there are definitely common things that you would find in meditation and self-hypnosis. The main difference is that you will be focused on a problem instead of, as you said, just understanding who you are, trying to step back from your body in order to find results. And so if we look at the brain scans again, you would see that the same part of the brain shuts down during meditation and self-hypnosis. But then in self-hypnosis, another part of the brain actually turns on, which is actually the executive control system that you have here in front of your brain. And basically, we're helping you to make those decisions in this hypnotic state that we'll put you into.
why would someone benefit from this? What does getting into this state of mind allow you to do that is different than just sitting down and thinking about your issue?
Sure. I think it's very all done. It's very hard to get to change your subconscious mind. And we all live very busy lives. Therefore, it's very difficult to find that time where you with yourself and you can actually change the underlying thought patterns and beliefs that are responsible for your behaviors or action. And so how does self-hypnosis do it? By using positive affirmations, by using visualizations, you can replace those negative thought patterns with positive ones. Leaning the improving self-esteem, with your stress, weight loss, you name it. There's so many ways that you can actually impact your body using self-hypnosis. And therefore, I think the main difference here is literally like trying to get to a point where you change all those traumas, beliefs, behaviors that you had in the past based on many things that can happen during your life that you need to change, that you want to change. Yep. That's why actually we say on the website, every change is self-change, because we believe it starts with you wanting to change, and then you use that technique and skills to actually get to that.
Okay. So let's maybe make this a little bit more real for people. So let's actually use your story. You, if I remember correctly, I think you discovered using self-hypnosis because you wanted to stop smoking. Is that correct?
Correct. I was speaking about, I've been smoking like a lot of time in my life, tried many things, and self-hypnosis was definitely something that's ticked three boxes, and the three boxes were basically fast, easy, and enjoyable, which is very rare to see in the smoking addictions, because it's always painful, it always takes a lot of time, it's always with many back and forths, and the time you're actually quitting smoking is not enjoyable because you're very constrained with yourself, and therefore you have so many constraints that you don't feel good. And so I wanted to find a way to make it fast, simple, and enjoyable. And I think the way we do it using self-hypnosis is a way to engage in a 21-day program for smoking as it is right now. Doesn't mean you won't be using 21 days of it. For example, some people will do it faster than that. Some people will actually do it much longer than that and actually repeat the sessions that they like most during their journey. So they've built out into 21 days so that people can actually relate to them and know exactly in what path they should go on from day one, day two, day three, etc. But I think we've seen so many people using 1 leaf on a daily basis, weekly basis, from 6 to 12 months now, that we clearly see that, as the name of the podcast says, it did create a habit of putting self-hypnosis into their mental health practice in their everyday lives. And so I think it's so not a yes or no question. It's exactly like weight loss. If you look at weight loss, which is actually the bestseller for 1 leaf as it is right now, you'll see that 49% of adults in this world will try to lose weight over the next 12 months. 80% of them will regain the same weight within 24 months after, which is quite sad. But when you found something that you like to actually lose weight, you probably go back to it many times. So, and so same thing here for weight loss. We've seen the same thing for the past 12 months, seeing that people do go back to 1 leaf at any time in their journey where they feel they're not, as you said, relating to themselves in the right way in order to achieve their weight loss goal, their smoking goals, their stress goals, or whatever goal they want to achieve.
Yeah. So for you, how long were you actually smoking before you found this? How many years? Yeah.
Hence, it's really different than the US. Europe mostly, where I think we smoke much more than in the US. So I started smoking when I was actually 17 years old. So very young during my studies. And I stopped smoking probably at 25, went back to it at 27, probably stopped again, because most of the people, as we asked them how many times they quit smoking, they did try to quit smoking between 5 to 10 times on average, which is actually quite big. And I think you find that past where it's always, again, you have some back and forth in your life that will put you back into your bad behavior. With the bad, I don't like the word bad. It's more the behaviors that don't create the best version of you. And it was literally what's happening to me. When I smoke, I was literally felt more ashamed towards my wife, towards my friends, towards many things, and wanted so bad to actually quit smoking. And until I started that actually create that in my life that can actually create the craving for smoking. And using self-hypnosis is the right way to go, I think, to actually use those understanding of that you have with your life and actually killing those and replacing them with positive affirmations or suggestions that can help you to actually relate to it.
Okay. So it sounds like for you, this was something that you did off and on for well over a decade.
Correct.
Okay. And so how long did it actually take you to completely stop once you started using the self-hypnosis?
About, I would say, a year.
About a year, okay.
And again, I was smoking in a very different way than I used to, because when I started at 70 years old, I was just smoking one pack a day and just not even thinking about it. Whereas in your mind, the more you grow, you get old, I guess you want to change your habit. And therefore, I was only smoking probably one or two cigarettes a day. And therefore, I just wanted to kill those two cigarettes a day and go into the 2 to 0. And it was a lot of back and forth from months to months until it was easy for me to say and quit those two.
Yeah, and I'll just highlight here something, and you alluded to this earlier, right? I think we live in a world now where everyone wants the super fast result, right? Everyone wants to stop right now. So they hear like, right. Oh, it took you a year. Oh, man. And I've had this experience where when I tell people that I lost 80 pounds and it took me about 10 months, they're like, 10 months? Oh, man, that's so long. I know a guy that did keto and lost 50 pounds in a week or whatever.
And then went back up crazy fast as well.
Well, like you said, those people always go back to it. And the thing is, we see this repeated, right? Whether it's people who lose significant weight and put it back on, which the numbers are astronomical on that, right? Smoking, you said the people on average go back 5-6 times that they're trying to quit. It's we can see a pattern start to go here, right? No matter what we're trying to change, there's always a tendency to relapse because people are depending on just the tactics. They're not actually changing their mindset. They're not changing their beliefs. They're not changing their identity. And so it took you a year to completely change your identity. But guys, listen to this and think about this for a second. It took a year for Elliot to change an identity that he had for well over a decade. Okay? You can't just go and change something that's been with you that long, especially when it's a physical thing that you do, that's part of your routine, and then you just change it in like a week. Like that's unrealistic. And I think a lot of us, we try to make that change. We try to do it super fast. We try to look for the shortcuts because we want to get rid of the pain right now. But I think the other key thing here, and Elliot, please chime in here and tell me if this was the case with you. I think that when we do this slow approach, there's this belief that means we're going to wait a year to see the results, or that we're going to wait 10 months to see the results. The reality is you're seeing results along the way. Your confidence is building. Your mood is improving. All those changes you want in your life happen along the way. That year or 10 months or whatever we're talking about time frame wise is literally just that kind of that mark of I've completely arrived. But that doesn't mean you wait until you get there to see the changes.
Correct. Fully agree. And it's exactly as I've experienced it.
So talk to me a little bit about what this process actually looks like. Because like I said, I think a lot of people, when we start talking about hypnosis, there's some stereotypes out there, right? There's some beliefs that people have. So if we were sitting down right now and we were actually doing a self-help hypnosis session, what would actually be happening?
Sure. Please take into account that I'm not a hypnotherapist, that I work with experts in the field, in all the different fields that we work for. I've learned a lot, of course, working on one knee for now close to a year and a half, but I'm not a hypnotherapist. Learned as much as I could in this year and a half, a lot more about the brain that I used to know.
No, because look, I don't know that most people out there really want to necessarily hear the scientific stuff anyways, right? Because I know some of this stuff goes over my head even, and I'm into this stuff, right?
I'm just putting it out there so that everyone knows. But it's actually very easy to understand, I think. So if we have to put it very simply, hypnosis is a state of relaxation and focus in the same time. And in my opinion, I very much consider it to be very similar to the flow state that has been talked a lot about in many different ways. And how do we do that? We do that by doing a step-by-step thing to actually get to the result that we want. And so the first part of it is called the induction. And the induction is probably on one if it's close to 3 to 7 minutes, I'd say, where basically the first step of this self-hypnosis is to achieve a state of deep relaxation. And this can be done through various techniques, like techniques that we've seen in many other areas, like deep breathing, progressive muscle relaxation, visualization, and many other things like this. And then we would focus. So that the second step would be, once the person is relaxed, you need to focus in your mind on one particular goal that you need to achieve. So that would be doing self-hypnosis on your own. On one, if we do mostly guided self-hypnosis, where basically every session that you have is already pre-made based on one thing that you want to achieve. Could be quitting smoking, but instead of quitting smoking, you would have, for example, boredom or stress or concentration and all the very different things that we have here. And then the third step would be the suggestion. So when your mind is focused and relaxed, you then begin to suggest positive and affirming statements to yourself. And these statements can be done in the form of affirmation, visualization, mental rehearsals of the desired outcome, basically. The fourth step is repetition, that we don't use that much in one if, but there's a lot of people that actually do it, where really you repeat and repeat the thing that you want to achieve. And the fifth step is actually going out of this hypnosis, of this hypnotic state that you actually put yourself in. And just to put it very simply also, because I want people to understand as maximum as possible on it, is very similar to the stage that you're in when you wake up and when you go to sleep. So just that time frame of probably a few seconds where you wake up and the time frame just before you go to sleep, before you actually go to sleep, those two moments are very similar to actually what you will experience doing self-hypnosis. And again, coming back to stage hypnosis that I heard a lot, I think, in the industry, it's funny to see that people think that they're actually losing control, while it's actually the opposite. It's actually taking control of your mind. And so that's basically the different steps that you would go to in order to actually, again, change your thoughts, beliefs, or change your thoughts, sorry, beliefs, or anything that you want to change about your life.
So let's dive in here, right? Because the first thing you mentioned was that we have to be very intentional about getting into a certain state of mind, right?
Correct.
And I think this is one of the areas where people struggle with meditation in particular, right? Where they're told, oh, just sit down and get in a relaxed position, and then you're taking deep breaths, right? Which is one of those things where, yes, that is technically correct, but just telling someone to take a deep breath in and of itself doesn't necessarily help, right? Because we all, I think, have this idea about how we relax and how we take the stress out of the day or whatever. But if you're just literally just sitting down and trying to relax, it's very difficult. It's almost impossible to let your body relax, because our bodies, without getting too scientific here, have mechanisms inside of them that actually protect your muscles, right? So if you're trying to do too much, or if you're in a position where you're stressed out and you're tight, your body is literally going, hey, we can't relax right now because we need to stay alert. We need to be on the lookout for danger here. We need to be, or whatever. So I think a lot of people, they struggle to relax because they think that relaxing is just sitting down and going, okay, relax, okay, relax, okay, relax.
Which is even worse.
Yeah, which actually makes it worse, right? It just makes you tighten up even more. It's right. Like telling someone who's upset to calm down, right?
Exactly.
It never works. So talk about what are some of these techniques? Like, how do people actually go from this struggle of trying to relax to actually getting into that state? What does that look like, that process?
I think, and again, I'll speak about one leaf more than the others, because we all have different practice here. But I think on one leaf is actually very easy. We do two things. The first one is actually that we use the background sounds that are our binaural beats made for actually relaxation, and actually works super well in order to also achieve that authentic state. And the second one is all the different techniques that you have in the protocol of self-hypnosis and hypnosis. So the inductions, as they call it, there's so many of them. So for example, you would be looking at something above your eyeballs and trying to focus there, close your eyes, reopen your eyes, reclose your eyes for quite a while until you actually find that very high focus on this element, so that you become so much focused that actually you find relaxation while doing so. For me, for example, it's the one that works the best. And so you tend now, I think, in 2023, to have, and thanks to many guys like Huberman or any kind of guy podcast on stress or anxiety, you have so many different techniques available, I think, on how to move from point A to point B, that I think you can reuse them to actually, again, find that state that you want. And hypnosis is just, I think, using protocols that are very, very clear in order to actually get to point A to point B?
Once people get relaxed, right? Once they find the technique that works best for them and they manage to get themselves into this relaxed state, what does that actually allow them to do?
Again, I think, yeah, if, you know, it's funny, when you're young, you actually get much more in your head very fast. So just, for example, languages. And many companies are actually building companies using hypnosis for languages, because when you get old, it's actually the opposite that actually you have so much, not trouble, I would say, in your brain, but so much stuff going on that you can't actually focus on one thing and be super present to actually get all the information and stuck it in to actually retrieve that information in your brain. And so once the person is relaxed and you get them focused on one thing, if, for example, about stress, and you have very specific elements to stress, for example, like the three main ones that we know are relationship, finance, and health, which probably represent 99% of your stress and anxiety problems, at least when you see the anxiety metrics that you can see from some clinical trials. And in case, I think in those three elements, there's so many different points that you can look at, which is the relationship my wife? Is it with my friends? Is it with myself? Et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, you can find some positive suggestions to actually, again, change those thoughts and patterns to move it from point A to point B, to actually change what you think is correct to what I think is actually incorrect, and actually change the pattern that you have currently in your brain to move from one part of it, from one state of mind to another state of mind.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a really good analogy here for anyone who's ever read the book Switch. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but they talk about the concept of the rider and the elephant, with the rider being you, is actually your logical brain, right? And the elephant is your subconscious brain, right? Or like your instinctual brain. And you may be able to sometimes get the elephant to go the direction it wants to go, right? But the reality is the elephant is way bigger and way stronger than your logical brain, right?
Right.
The subconscious brain will sometimes go along for the ride, but when it decides that what you're doing is dangerous or uncomfortable or unfamiliar, then it's going to stop you, right? And I think this is something a lot of people maybe miss. If you think about when someone tells you to do something or says something that is contrary to what you believe, just think, take a second here to stop and think about your reaction to that. Not just your thoughts, but what actually happens in your body? What tightens up in your body? Like, where do you start to feel that disagreement with that thing happening, right? And then, guys, I want you to understand that it's not just other people. When you try to tell yourself something in a fully conscious state where your logical brain is in control, your subconscious starts to fight you. And that's what Elliot is talking about here, is getting out of your own way.
Correct. 100% correct.
Yeah. So once someone gets into this state of mind and they can really start to understand and realize what their subconscious is actually thinking, right? They start to realize the things that they're holding on to, the beliefs that they have. What's the next step here?
So I think you could see it in two ways. Either you could only use positive suggestions. What we also like to do is, even if you're using, for example, 1 week for a month, I expect people to get to a point where they learn some stuff from 1 week. That basically they will never be able to say, it didn't help me. I want them to make sure that actually they will build out some skills for them that actually they will remember their whole life. And so in the positive suggestions, we also use skill building techniques that actually the subconscious will remember quite well during the next phase. Could be a day, could be 2 days, could be sometimes 5 days. And we'll be able to reuse at all times during the same day. And that works super well, at least for me, for smoking was working super well. So you have this thing that some hypnotherapists use, which is trying to make you understand and go back in time that your brain used to be a non-smoker and your body becomes a smoker. Mm-hmm. And you have to make the links between the two, that your brain is still a non-smoker and became a smoker. But you have just to go back in time and understand that he used to be a non-smoker. And that didn't work super well for me. And so I was every time trying to, again, self-hypnotize myself to actually understand that my brain was basically a non-smoker, as my body is a smoker. And therefore, since the body and the mind are connected, there's no reason whatsoever that my body wants a cigarette because my brain is a non-smoker. By definition, because I was born without a cigarette.
Yeah, so let me rephrase that for anybody that might have missed it. What Elliot is saying here is that all behaviors, the way you choose to react to things, the way you eat, smoking, drinking, whatever things you have going on, right? They are all learned behaviors. I know for a lot of guys, that's just the way I am. But you weren't always that way. You weren't born that way. You learned to be that way, which means you can change those things. Because if you feel like this is what I've always been, but the reality is you haven't always been that. There was a time in your life where you weren't that. And we're not suggesting that you go back to being 2 years old, right? But what we're saying is you can go back to a clean slate of before you developed that pattern.
Yeah. Which is exciting. It gives you hope that actually people will be able to change many stuff in your life. Smoking is one part of it. But for example, I don't smoke, but I have so many things that haven't changed that will change actually. And the good thing is that if you actually, it's not for everyone. It's like yoga, like sports, like many things. It's not for everyone, but if you like it and you find it enjoyable, there's no reason why you won't go back to it, especially because when we move through time, I think it's interesting to see that we all have many problems. I don't know about you, about Steven, but I'm guessing you have problems. I have problems. I will have some others tomorrow, and they tend to actually change. And it's always cyclical with many things circling back with my life and going back and going forward. And therefore, I think it's very interesting to know that whether it's yoga, whether we all have basically our own practice to get from point A to point B. And same thing here, I think we'll all have many problems in our lives. And therefore, we need to find those solutions that actually resonate with what you like to actually move from point A to point B.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think like I can give an example here to just illustrate this for people of what it looks like when you're progressively getting better. So when I first started my weight loss journey, I lost those 80 pounds. And I was at the time working in retail. I was working in management. So I was working in a little store in the mall. The store that I was working in, it was a small volume store at the time. We were only able to have one person in the store at a time, except for on the weekends. So most of the time, I was the only one there. I would literally have to close and lock my door, run over to the food court, get food, come back and scarf it down. That was literally my routine. And so when I first started trying to lose weight, my first thought was not, okay, let me start learning a whole bunch of recipes and learn how to cook and start making meals at home and bring them with me and heat them up in the microwave and all that, right? No, I went over to the same food court, but maybe instead of getting the double stack hamburger, I started getting a grilled chicken sandwich, right? Maybe instead of getting the extra large fry, I just got a large fry. So I just started cutting calories in very small increments. And I lost the first 40 pounds while still eating fast food 5 days a week, which always like shocks people. They're like, how? How's that even possible?
Yeah.
How is even fewer calories? That's why, right?
One of them.
But over time, it started to get to the point where I started cooking more of my foods at home, right? I started enjoying the idea of being able to have control over the ingredients. And so then I went from eating fast food 5 days a week to I was eating fast food maybe 2 days a week. And then eventually there came a point where like I literally at one point did not eat fast food at all for 6 months. And one day I just had a craving and because I don't believe in bad foods, right? So one day I had a craving for, you know, something I used to get all the time. And I went and got it, and Elliot, it tasted like cardboard, okay? Yeah. Because my taste buds had changed, right? My taste buds had adapted. And so now I was like, man, I ate this. Like, I was mad at myself because I was like, I wasted all those years eating this crap, right?
Yeah, sure.
But I think that's a good example of like how what you were just describing there, that this is a process, right? It's not just like something you do for 5 minutes and then that's it. Ideally, you start where you are, and over time, you want to keep making little smaller changes, and you can keep coming back to these techniques over and over again every time you want to make that change.
And Stephen, I'd like to add to that, that I think, as we said earlier, every change is self-change. So it starts with you for sure. But I think along this way, and that's how I see self-hypnosis as of now, which is you have to find a companion that actually will help you to get there faster, better, while enjoying it. And that's the way I see it. Even if it's 10 months, it's be 10 months that you will look up to as being, for example, the best 10 months of your life. And I'm sure right now, if you look back, it was probably hard at some times, but you also had an amazing experience from it.
Yeah. And what's even more amazing is because I did it the way I did it, because it was nice and controlled. I'm not even going to say slow, because it wasn't about the slowness. It was about the fact that it was controlled. I've kept it off. I've now for over the last like 12 years now, I believe, I've kept that off. And as you just said earlier, a large number of people, what do we say, 65-70%, I think is the numbers of people who lose large amounts of weight regain it.
Yeah.
So to think about the fact that I'm in just like that 30% window is crazy to me, because in looking back, there was nothing magical about it. I literally just ate smaller food.
And learn how to change your life. Learning is a big part of it, because even if you know sometimes you don't want to change, or actually try to change. And I think if you use hypnosis, again, coming back to this, it's also a way to actually inputting something in your mind with a bigger output, sorry, a bigger input, that if you just tell yourself, oh, I'm going to be eating less than this. So you were probably, you're not 100%. Most of the people won't actually find the same path that you had, and therefore need help getting there. Could be therapy, could be cognitive behavioral therapy, could be hypnosis, could be basically anything that will actually help them to get from point A to point B. And as I said, some people will access hypnosis, some people will not. Same thing for meditation, same thing for yoga, same thing for sports, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and I'll even add this, because I think it ties into what you just said there, is for a lot of guys out there, I hear all the time of, I'm really good at this, why can't I do this over here, right? And the thing is, guys, there are some overlaps in skills, but there's also different skills that are needed for different things. For example, for me, nutrition was actually the simple change for me to make, right? I actually worked with a dietitian for a little while, and I didn't really feel like I got a lot out of it, honestly, right? Because for me, the nutrition part was actually the easy change, because of the way that I was doing it, it was something that worked well for me. And the whole reason I started doing the way I did it was, I actually wanted to prove that you could lose weight without having to eat grilled chicken and broccoli every day, right? Honestly, that was my motivation. I'm just a stubborn person, and my stubbornness and my desire to prove everybody else wrong drove me to stick with it, okay? Full disclosure. Probably not going to be the approach most people take. Fortunately, it's not the only approach. But when it came to exercise, right, I would sometimes work out, but I didn't really like sticking with exercise. It was something that was very difficult for me. And I actually worked with a trainer who really helped me to learn how to do exercises properly, really learned how to make exercise more enjoyable. And as a result of that, I started developing this passion for it. And that's why, as I lost weight and fell in love with exercise, I decided to become a personal trainer, and then later on expanded out into nutrition and sleep and stress management and all that, and actually became a board certified health coach. But I started as a personal trainer, which is ironic, because I started as the thing I actually hated the most before I started. And I think that kind of ties into what you said there, that when you seek out help from other people, a lot of times that can help you to unlock something that you didn't even know was there.
What you just described was called hypnosis, Stephen, because you hypnotize yourself basically that you like sports, and then you change your behaviors to actually like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is actually one session that we have on the weight loss program, which is, how do you make it enjoyable? How do you go to the gym and enjoy the whole journey?
Yeah. And I think that's something that's really hard for a lot of people, right? Is we focus on the negative of things, right? It's this idea of, oh, I have to starve myself, or I have to go work out a lot, or if I'm going to quit smoking, I need to go cold turkey, right? These are the beliefs that we have. And then I think as men, there's another thing we haven't talked about yet, but I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, right? Is we tend to use negative reinforcement. I've got a friend who, when he goes to the gym and he wants to give up, he starts going, come on, you fat bastard. You got to get this done, right? And I'm like, you've been trying this for years and it's not working. So,
or even if it's working, it's not making you the best version of you.
Yeah.
And I think it's, again, I think a big part of your mind is very negative at first. So you have to change that. And so that's why we all are anxious in this world, which is something that most people don't know, strangely, is that on a certain level, we all have anxiety. And so I think it's how do you unlock, as you said, your mind to go from 9 to 1, for example, or 6 to 1. And I think it's very interesting to know that you can do that very easily using, for example, again, self-hypnosis, but many other tools that you have out there.
Yeah. So in terms of somebody really wanting to make these changes in their life, right? Just to recap for people, what we've talked about here is, first of all, accepting that the changes you need to make have to happen inside first, right? That's really the starting point of it. The second thing that we really hit on here is this idea that your subconscious brain is actually way more powerful than your logical brain. I have a mentor who I've quoted a couple times on here on the podcast, but I think it's always relevant to bring up, which is that as human beings, we are neither rational or irrational. We're post-rational, meaning we justify things only after we've already done them or decided to do them, right? And so we can use that to our advantage, because if you know that you want to become a certain person, if on a subconscious level you can decide to become that person, you can get your logical brain to get on board and justify it. It's way more difficult to do it the other way, right? To decide you're going to do something from a logical perspective and to get your subconscious brain to let go of years or decades of programming, way harder to do.
Can you give an example of that?
An example of what it looks like to try to do that in reverse order?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've talked a little bit about weight loss, so let's just use weight loss as our example here. So if you are saying to yourself, I need to lose 10 pounds, right? That's your motivation. I need to lose 10 pounds. What's going to happen is you're going to start thinking logically about how do I lose 10 pounds, right? And you're going to start with dieting, exercise, whatever, right? Whatever place you start, it's irrelevant right now. So you start wherever you start. More than likely, one of two things will happen. Either A, you won't see any results and you'll give up, or you'll start to see results and then this little part of your brain that goes, I want faster results. So logically, we think to ourselves, if this is good, more of it must be great, right? We do more of it. And all the while, those changes you're trying to make maybe are not in alignment with your subconscious, right? Your subconscious thoughts are fighting against that. And so you constantly feel those cravings, or you constantly feel yourself going back to those habits, because you're relying simply on a technique. You haven't changed who you are at your core, right? But if you do something like self-meditation or affirmations or whatever, where you're constantly telling yourself, I am a person who chooses to be healthy. I'm a person who exercises because it allows my body to be functional. I choose healthy foods to give myself energy so that I can play with my kids, or so that I can be the husband that my wife needs me to be, right? When we start associating our actions with positive outcomes and the person that we want to become, and those things are in alignment with who we want to be and who we see ourselves as, it now becomes easier to take the actual actions, right? So the logical brain is the actions, right? It's the everyday stuff that we do. If you get your subconscious to buy into it, you actually get your actions to do it. Your actions will follow, no problem. But when we try to take the opposite approach, we try to take the actions first, and then we try to convince ourselves that those are the best actions, you're going to struggle most of the time, unless you just get lucky and you could line them up, not being aware that you are, but you just happen to line everything up, then you can do it.
Yeah. A good illustration, I think, there, Stephen, is diets. Diets is clearly, I think, the best way to emphasize on what you just said, which is you literally like change from point A to point B without making the choice in your brain that you want to change or deciding in which way you're going to change, because either you're following the diet that is already out there or following your nutritionist devices. But I think you didn't make this choice yourself. So if, for example, you said to yourself, I'm hearing your story, which is I need to exercise every day, but you don't like doing so, then it will be just a struggle from day one to day 2 months then. And therefore, it doesn't have to be this way. That's what we're saying there.
Yeah. Like for me, I'm at a point now where I view exercise as a fundamental thing that I do, right? I see myself as a healthy person. I see myself as someone who loves to move. I see myself as someone who wants to live life without pain and all that stuff, right? I see all those benefits, and that's what I want. I want to be able to be active, and I'm turning 45 this year, right? I want to be active into like my 80s and 90s. And I know in order to do that, I have to build that foundation right now. Yeah. So on those days, and guys, listen to this very carefully, because if you think that having that mindset means I'm motivated every day, I'm not. On those days that I don't feel like moving, all I have to do is say one single phrase, and it brings me into a completely different mindset. All I have to do is go, I'm choosing to not move today, to not make my body better. And as soon as I do that, my subconscious brain goes, no, we're not making that choice. Go do a workout. Because I trained my subconscious to see that. Now, 12 years ago, when I was getting started, if I had told myself I'm choosing to not work out today, my subconscious would have been like, that's what I'm talking about, bro. That right there is what I'm talking about. We're not doing this.
Yeah.
Just because my identity was different. My beliefs were different.
Kerry, super interesting.
Yeah. Which I think just ties into everything we've talked about today about using these techniques to change your subconscious thoughts and realizing that you don't have to always be the same person that you can be.
And that we sometimes hear that sentence that says past 50 years old, you can't change, or those people can't change, which is so untrue. We've seen so many people using one that are past 50 years old. So many of them. It's actually a majority.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to see that they think at any point in your journey, you can decide who you want to be.
And I know along those same lines, people get this idea of once you're over like 40, 50, 60 years old, whatever, right? That it's really hard to change. And especially when it comes to like physical exercise and things like that. And look, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it for you. It is going to be hard, right? And you do have to do things differently than you did them when you were 20, 30 years old. But at the end of the day, you also don't have to try to do everything at once. Start where you are.
And again, Stuart, I think, again, it's very hard to find the thing that you like to actually get to your goal. But I think, again, try it, because we offer a free trial of 7 days if you want on one each. So I think everyone can try it.
Yeah.
But if you do enjoy it as much as our users do, you'll see that you'll find something that actually can unlock the power of your mind every day until the rest of your life.
And I will say that even though we talked earlier about how all changes really start with you internally, there is also something to add to that that I think is important, right? Yes, the actual change has to be internal. It has to be something that you actually want to do. It has to be something that you are in control of and that you're guiding, you're driving the bus, so to speak. But for a lot of people, having something external to help them when they're getting started to build the consistency can be super helpful, right? So whether that's hiring a coach or that's using an app like OneLeaf, sometimes just having that external thing to help get you going until you establish the consistency is super helpful. So even though we're saying the change does start with you and it starts internally, know that it is perfectly okay to use an external source to help you make those changes.
Yep. Again, 4% chance rate, 4% success rate in smoking by yourself. So if you want to quit smoking, you have 4% chance of actually quitting smoking. That's the numbers right now after 6 months, smoking 8% as a whole. So clearly you're going to struggle, as Steven said. Why not making it enjoyable as maximum as possible and getting your chances up by, as the NHS would say, 5 to 10 times?
Yeah.
Could be, again, self-hypnosis, could be any kind of things that you think are going to improve your chances of success in that journey.
So guys, if you're at a point right now where you feel like you want to make these changes, maybe you're not at the point that you're comfortable talking to someone else, you're not comfortable reaching out to another person individually, I think things like apps are a great way to get started. So I would definitely encourage everybody to go check out the One Leaf app, get that 7-day free trial, go check it out and see if it's a good fit for you. That's what the 7 days are for, is for you to see if it's a good fit. Ellie, if someone wants to do that, what's the easiest way for them to find the One Leaf app?
Sure. So either you on Android or iOS, you would go on the store, type in One Leaf self-hypnosis or One Leaf, depending on the country where you're at, basically you'll get different results. But One Leaf self-hypnosis is the right way to go to make sure that it will pop up first. And basically you just have to download the app, go to probably an onboarding that is going to take you probably 1 minute. So it's very fast. Select the intent that you're here for. Could be losing weight, could be anxiety. So we have 6 programs available right now, which is quit smoking, weight loss, sleep, stress, pain, and confidence. And you just have to select basically the one that you want to start with. You would go on and start your free trial of 7 days. And after, you'll be charged $68 for 1 year, accessing over 150 audios right now that we have on the app. You can, of course, cancel at any time during your journey or during the free trial, so if you don't like it. And that's why we offer the free trial. Of course, we have a huge majority of people that actually go and actually decide to go with the yearly plan because they think it's best. Because again, those problems, as we said, we all have anxiety problems. We probably all will have some insomnia this year. Same thing for confidence. We need some confidence boost at some levels, considering the loneliness that we live in this world right now. So I think it's very useful because you can get back to it at any time. And I can't predict when will you have this insomnia this year. Probably 1 month, 2 months. At least you have it in your pocket. Or even if you train, I know that some people use it in train as well. You want to get to a rest and just put your headphones on and you're good to go. And it's very easy. So you just have to get to a place where you feel safe, where you won't be distracted, and put on your headphones and have ideally a couch or a bed, and then you're good to go for your first session, which lasts between 17 to 24 minutes maximum. And the first feedbacks that we got 1 year from now, which was actually the first users of One Leaf, was it literally became the best 20 minutes of my day. I think I'll end with that.
Yeah, that's a good place to end. So if someone wants to get a hold of you directly or learn more about One Leaf, what's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. So the website, oneleafhealth.com. So One Leaf, like a leaf, L-E-A-S. It's like you only have one line, but you also have one leaf that you need to pour water on every day. And so same thing here, you'll be able to repeat and make sure to get on the right track every day of the year. And so oneleafhealth.com is our website. And they can, of course, reach out to us on hello@oneleafhealth.com if they have questions or comments about this podcast or globally on the company. I'll be happy to answer them with the team.
Okay. And I will have links for all that in the show notes as well for people that just want to be able to go to them. Ellie, if there's one final thought, just one big takeaway that you want people to be able to leave with today, what is it?
That it starts now. That you don't have to wait actually to change. We all have something that we want to change right now. I'm sure you have some right now that you need to change, whether it's weight loss, whether it's, as I said, smoking, stress, sleep, stuff. We always feel that there's a due date to it. Oh, I'm going to do that in 2 weeks, in 1 month, in 2 months. I think it's interesting to try new stuff and to be curious about what can you try to actually make that change. And self-hypnosis has been there for quite a while, and actually in the hospital world and used by many doctors in this world. But it wasn't, I think, as accessible as it is with such an app as OneLeaf. And therefore, I think it's very easy to try and to see that if it's for you in 20 minutes, you'll know that you've made, you will have used your curiosity to actually to get to a point that will probably change your life. And that's, I think, the main thing that you need to remember here is that it could change your life and make it 10 times better.
Yeah.
Again, it's not about losing control. You're not losing control. You're taking control of your life. And I would end on that.
Awesome. Love it. Elliot, thank you so much for coming today, sharing your story with us, sharing your information and knowledge with us. And just want to remind everyone that while none of us are born unshakable, we can all become unshakable.
Thank you for listening to the Unshakable Habits Podcast with Coach Stephen Box. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and help us spread the word by sharing the podcast with other men. If you're ready to create unshakable habits, you can learn more and connect with us at unshakablehabits.com.